Our text today, our primary text today, is from John chapter 3, verse 30. The NIV reads it this way: He must become greater, I must become less. Again, He must become greater, I must become less. Other translations use different words. One says that He must increase and I must decrease. That may be the one you're most familiar with hearing. But again, He must become greater, I must become less. When you think about characters in the Bible, I'm not sure who the most favorite one is for you or some of the ones that fly through your brain real quick, but one that comes to my mind is John the Baptist. John the Immerser, John that was the forerunner before Jesus there to tell of His coming. He's one of the great people of the Bible. Kind of a unique character, an interesting person. Certainly got some quirks there that are kind of strange to a lot of us. So we're going to investigate him a little bit today and see what we can learn from him and see how to apply that to our lives. All right? Let's get some context, first of all. If you go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting in verse 5, you got the birth of John the Baptist foretold. And his birth was certainly unique and certainly special. The angel appeared to his father in the temple there working, So he's going to be told he's going to have a child. It's going to be John. He's going to do things in a very special way with this young man as he grows up. This comes to fruition as you go through the book of Luke there and continue on in Matthew chapter 3. Is another passage about John, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We got a unique birth about him, but we also got some other characteristics that go along with this that are kind of strange. Matthew 3, verses 1 through 6. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea. Some translations will say wilderness. In the desert of Judea. And he was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Listen a little bit more about John. Verse 4 here in chapter 3. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food, his diet, was locusts and wild honey. Now people went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of Jordan, and confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So we got a unique picture here of the lifestyle of John. I don't know what your ambition is for your kids when they're growing up, or your grandkids when they're growing up, or if you're an aunt and uncle, you're kind of supporting whatever your nieces or nephews are doing. I'm not sure what your goals are for them. Not many of us would have a goal that I want my son to grow up, wear camel's hair, eat locusts and wild honey, go be in the desert area preaching repentance and baptizing there in the river. That's what I want my son to do. Most of us have got ambitions of college life or military life, or we got a nice trade for them, something that they'll have that they can be comfortable with all the days of their lives, and then get on the other end of life and get a nice retirement plan and just enjoy the golden days. That's sort of what we have in mind. But John, that's not what was prophesied for him. That was not what was expected of him. Instead, he was to go out and preach the news about the coming of the Messiah. This is what he was supposed to do. Now, what did some people think about him? What did they, when they thought of John, when they heard his teachings and preachings, what did they think? Well, if you go to John chapter 1, verses 19 and following, John chapter 1, verses 19 and following. Now this was John's testimony. When the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him, asking him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." Evidently some people thought he's the Messiah, he's the Christ. But he says, "I'm not." They asked him, "Then who are you?" They wanted to know. And they asked him specific questions. "Are you Elijah? Are you that great prophet Elijah?" And he says, "I'm not." And he says, "Are you the prophet?" The one they had a special idea that there was going to be some special prophet, some unique prophet. He said, "Are you the one?" Now, I don't know if they were mixing up the Messiah with the prophet. Didn't realize they might be one and the same. But are you that one?
He said,
no. So he said, no, I'm not the Christ. No, I'm not Elijah. No, I'm not this prophet. Finally, they said, just who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? So they want to know who he is. Well, John replies here to them. He replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I'm the voice of the one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? He said, I baptize with water. John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is one who comes after me, and the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. So we got some idea of who he is and what he likes to wear and things he likes to do, and then got some idea of what people thought he was. Questions. They wanted to know, are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Well, if you're not those, then who are you? And he responds, I'm the one who's in the wilderness crying out, make straight way the paths for the Lord that's coming. So this is what John responded to them as they wanted to know who he was. Well, what did Jesus think about John? If you go to Matthew chapter 8, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Let me get there with you. He says here, I tell you the truth. Now, this is a question that they have about John the Baptist, people wanting to know stuff. He says, I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, that's a powerful statement, is it not? I mean, I've wrapped my brain around it several times as I thought about what to say here. Is he saying that John is greater than the lawgiver Moses? Is John greater than the mighty warrior Joshua? Is John greater than David, the great king? Is he greater than Solomon, the ultimate man of wisdom? I mean, there are a number of characters that we can go through in the Old Testament about how great and powerful they were. Jesus says he's great among all that have ever been born of women. None is greater. And then he qualifies by saying that he's the least in the kingdom, though. So John's purpose, from what I can see of this and what I understand in my studies of this, is John's purpose was to point us to Christ. No greater mission existed. No greater purpose on earth existed than to point us to Christ. And because he's carrying out that mission and that purpose, Jesus could say none greater than him. But then Jesus also qualified it by saying, those of us that are in the kingdom are greater than John. John's purpose was to get us to Christ. Christ was to bring us into the kingdom. A little confusing still to me. Maybe still a little confusing to you. But that's what John's purpose was, and that's what Jesus thought about him. None greater. Well, John also gave us a great proclamation. If you go back to John chapter 1, go to verse 29. John is there baptizing. People are all around. Crowds are coming. Huge, very popular. Some people are inquisitive. Let's go down to the river and see what John's got to say today. So they're all coming. And as John is there baptizing, it says the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, as soon as he saw Jesus, all these people around, been baptizing, getting ready, everybody ready for the coming of the Messiah, he says, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John was the one who was able to give that great proclamation. You see that man right there? That is the Messiah. That is the Lamb of God. That is the one. That is the one that will take away all the sins of the world. It goes on to say, this is the one I met when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, it is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Do you see what John got the privilege of doing? He's out there baptizing and teaching and preaching repentance because the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The kingdom's going to be here. He's doing all this work. And then he gets to see the Lamb of God. And he makes that great proclamation that this is the Lamb of God. And now he doubles down on it, so to speak, and says, I want you to understand something. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. So we've looked at the context a little bit about John, who he is. We've tried to understand who he exactly is and who people thought he was. We've got Jesus' thoughts on this, and we've got this great proclamation. Let's move a little bit more into John's character here. John chapter 3, verse 22 and following. We're going to learn a little bit about John and see how to apply some of that character traits to our life. Starting in John 3, 22. After this, Jesus and the disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put into prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain number of Jews, or a certain particular Jew, depends on your translation. They can't quite know whether it's singular or plural. But the argument is over the matter of ceremonial washing. So they come to John. This argument's taking place. They come to John and said to him, Now, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this, John replied, A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. The joy is mine. It is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. And then John goes on to say, The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on Him. Now, I don't know if you picked up on all the things I'd like for you to pick up on. As I reflected on the passage, as I looked at it, three things at least jumped out at me about John. One, John was a humble man. When people wanted to think he was the Christ or the great Elijah or some great prophet, he told them he wasn't. And then he pointed out in this passage here, you know, I'm from God to do work, a certain task, and that task is for me to point you to the one who's greater. I'm just a man on earth. This is God's Son. He also points out there, as you go through this looking at the passage here, I'm only telling you what God once told. I'm not creating a new message. I'm not interested in your accolades. I'm not interested in your applause. I'm going to tell you what God wants you to know. Very humble man. A lot of humility there. I mean, after all, there were crowds everywhere. They were interested in what he had to say. He could have easily stole the thunder. He could have easily been center stage. But instead, he wants to slide off to the side. You need to see Jesus. You need to hear Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's the one that God has sent. We need to listen to Him. John is willing to step back in the background so that Jesus can be seen. Very humble man. He also has a strong understanding of what he's supposed to do. He was sent to do a specific task, and that was to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus. He understands that task. He sticks to that task. He carries out that task. He's a man who understands his role. And I've alluded to this here, but he also is a man who focused. I almost want to use the word headstrong. He's locked in on what he needs to do. He understands the mission. He then implements that mission. He then steps out and does what he's supposed to do. He goes out there and tells people about Jesus, points people to Jesus, declares Jesus to be the Son of God. He carries out his mission. So I walk away from this, and I don't know what you're walking away from today, but I walk away from this thinking, okay, what are my roles that have been assigned to me by God? What does God expect of me as a disciple of His Son? What does He expect? What kind of son have I been to my parents? What kind of husband am I to my wife? What kind of father am I to my children? What kind of grandfather am I to my grandchildren? What kind of friend am I to my friends? What kind of neighbor am I to my neighbors? What kind of person am I? I've been assigned these particular roles. Mine might not be specifically to baptize people in preparation for the kingdom of God like John's was, but as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, my job is to point people to Christ. I need to understand what my roles are. I also need to be humble about doing this. What's been given to us is from above. If we've been assigned a specific task, beyond what the ones I just mentioned, if we've been assigned a specific task, then we've been given that task by God because He thinks we have the talents and the capability of getting that job done. Sometimes He'll equip us beyond what we first thought. You know, you got people throughout the Old Testament. Gideon didn't think he was going to be that kind of leader. He ends up being that kind of leader. Joshua was the same way. Moses was the same way. Jonah, a whole bunch of them. God equips. God equips. And He will take you and use you in a mighty way. So we need to understand that we've got a job to do. We also need to be humble about it. It is God who's giving us the opportunity to serve. He needs to receive the glory and the honor and the praise. We need to step our egos back so that Christ can be revealed and seen in everything we do, in every word we say. Christ needs to be seen. We need to focus on getting that job done. That needs to be where our mindset is. Preachers used to kind of scare some of us a long time ago, especially revivals. And I've heard this said before, if you are not serving Christ because you're spending too much time with your wife doing husband and wife things and not the things of God, don't be surprised one day if your wife's not there. Or if your focus is only on your children, don't be surprised one day if God wants to get your attention and your children are not there. If your job is of such nature you don't have time for the things of the Lord, then I understand one day that job may not be there. And we can go down the list here, a bunch of things. And they used to scare us to death. I don't really want us to do that. I want us to just be the type of people that, like John was. John saw his task. He understood his task. He then went out and did his task, and his focus was on getting that task done. He wasn't going to let any accolades or any criticism or anything else interfere with getting the job done for God that he was called to do. And he focused on it. And he humbly and willingly let God receive the glory by pointing Jesus out as the Son of God. So I walk away from this text with the idea I need to understand my missions, whatever they may be. I need to understand them. I need to focus on getting them done. I need to give God the glory. This is some of the things I walk away from the text today. I don't know what you're walking away from, but I hope and pray it's something similar to what I have just pointed out. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins to get the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. And we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.